don't go deeper than the surface, will bitch, complain, and never will be satisfied, and always blame someone else or ourselves. Which brings me to another story. I had not remembered this story for years until yesterday. There was a saint in India by the name of Mihr Baba. He passed away a long time ago. But one of the stories that I read in his books about 20 years ago stuck with me. And it just goes to show you how much we go with the imagination and the thoughts. The story goes like this. There was a holy man or a teacher, a guru, in an apartment building in India. And he had a disciple, young boys that would come and learn from him and respect him. Few months later, a prostitute moves to this apartment building and just happens to rent the one in front of his door. Now there is a holy man and the prostitute right in front of each other. The holy man loses his peace, because with the activity that was going on in the other apartment, he was always in fear that he might have bad name, or he might, his disciples are young, they could be misled or whatever. He was furious. He couldn't even teach straight. He was just praying to God to get rid of this. It just happened that after a few years, they both die at the same week. Now they are the other side. This is just symbolic. He sees that the prostitute is being led into heaven and he's being carried to hell. He says, "Wait a minute, God, I gave my whole life to you. What is going on?" And the voice goes like this. It says, "The whole time that you were concentrating on the fault of this woman, she was doing what she had to do as her role in this lifetime, but her eyes was in your purity." Hmm. Her eyes was vivid on your purity. Imagine this. That it doesn't matter what we do, what we say, what we think. It matters where our concentration is. And if the concentration is on the real self, who we really are, nothing can bother it. Nothing can hurt it. So there are a lot of people in this world that act like a goody-two-shoe. But how is the mind going? Are we judging ourselves? Are we having repeated mind to the point of the, insanity? And what is the remedy for that? Just be. Not this, not that. And this is what we did tonight. This is the meditation we did tonight. Whenever there is a repeated thought that turns to a habit, is because it got our attention. How do we reverse this? Absolutely decide to stop. Because we are not our thoughts. If we were our thoughts, we would say, "I am a thought." I wouldn't say that this is my thought. And another sign that is very, very obvious is that I say, "I am Susan." She says, "I am a girl." Hans says, "I am wearing a red shirt." Dan says, "I am comfortable right now." What is it that is in all of this changes? The I. I am Susan, I am comfortable, I am wearing a red top, I am Ida. I am is the only truth that is being spoken. The rest is imagination. Is that I. So this I really does not move. It's always there as a witness. what moves is the energy of the thoughts and the activity of the body. As long as we don't separate this, then we are so involved as if we are in a nightmare and we don't know where it's just a dream. Any questions so far? Or any confusion so far?
So when you say we're not our thoughts, who are we?
Very good question. In order to know who you are, you have to know who you are not. Because what you are is what you are not that is a hindrance right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I give you a taste of it. When I say I am Susan, I am a girl, I am a wife, I am a mother, I am also a daughter to somebody, I'm not saying anything about myself at all. I'm just giving you a whole bunch of title roles. We have identified with our roles so much that when I ask somebody, who are you? He says, I'm a doctor. Are you kidding me? Or I am a banker, or I'm an investor. You are not an investor. Investment is just your role that you are playing. I am a bad woman, or I am a good woman. The identification is constant with people, and that is wrong. That is the cause of suffering. Now you ask me, who am I if I'm not that? You can never ask this question the moment you have nothing that is covering it, because that state of isness does not entertain this question. And it is beyond words. Do you know what I'm saying? It's hard to say who I am, but it's very, very clever to say who I'm not, because by eliminating this luggage, what is left is the I. And what is that I? The closest that I could have come in my book, unlimited, unbounded isness that has no attributes, label or sex. But it is bliss. It is bliss. Can someone talk about it? If they do, they are not that. But we can talk about how we can let go of this luggage. Any other question? I'm sure Joanna should have one. I'm so used to her questions.
No, you just made me think of the Ten Commandments that we were watching last night, and he asks God, what is your name? And he says, I am. They changed it, but it's I am that I am.
Yes, yes, yes. And you say, I am that I am. You know why? Because the mind doesn't know what the hell that means. And it stops. At that time is the right place to be. I am what I am. You tell people, I am what I am. They say, what does that mean? Tell me who you are. And you say, but I'm telling you, I am what I am. For those of you that were here last week, again, you witness who we are and who we are not. When you go to a movie theater, you see the screen. Upon this screen, there is the movie that takes place. The only thing that does not move during the whole 2 hours is the screen. And yet it's so invisible, and we're so involved with the pictures and the drama on that screen that we forget that had it not been for that screen, this picture would have never been seen. That is who we are. So when we are involved, this is a screen when my hand goes up, when we are involved with every thoughts and imagine imagery, like when you think of me at home, when you say meditation class, you have an image that comes to you. So, and when you think of yourself, another image comes. When you think of your mother, so is image, name and form cannot separate itself. Wherever there is a name of Dan, his form will come to our mind. They are inseparable. Huh? These are all the drawing in here. The more you look at the drama, the less you will see the reality. That's what we were talking with Joanna, that the drama has to go. The story has to go. Every one of us have a story. And we hold on to it. And we have neighbors that helps us hold on to it. We have friends that supports us to hold on to our story. We have psychiatrists that get our money to hold on to our story. Not only to hold on to our story, they encourage you to dig it like a corpse. So the whole society will support you to hold on to your imaginary. And then we wonder why nobody's happy. Because this story is not who I am. So we go into our imaginary self, and it's not comfortable. It's like wearing a tight shoes, and we go, oh my God, it hurts. When you looked at the, when you had a concentration tonight, and your mind stopped, you were in the natural state. That's the art of living, to be able to carry that with you. And for that, I was given certain method that I have used it myself, or I would have never talked about it, that will help not only understand the absurdness of this universal drama, but also to understand who we are and how to get rid of this. Do not repeat your drama with people. You only registered all over again new. And if you want to, if you don't agree with me, do repeat it. To eternity, repeat it. Get compassion from people. I have not repeated my past so much, I don't have a past anymore. And I'm so free for that. And I've said that before. Sometimes we sit with our relative and they say, remember when you were 5? No. Remember you were 6? No. And some people would say, why? This is so good. I do remember only the good ones because I choose to drag them. But a lot of people, for some reason, a lot of us, for some reason, we hold on to our sore that was self-inflicted because we're repeating it. It is self-inflicted. So the more we let go of our story, the more we let go of our luggage. And when we stay in that presence without thinking we are the mind, we can watch the mind, but we don't need to say we are that. What happens is our presence not only does not have a story, but is also in the form of tranquility, and therefore it will continue. Any question? Sharing?
Just for like visualization, because I used to try to, when I would think about observing my mind, I had this picture in my head that I would be this like lofty figure off to the mm-hmm. side, and there's this mind that was all confused and mm-hmm. making a lot of noise, and I did it for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was superior to my mind, or I was trying to be, you know, different than my mind, and it wasn't working. It never really gave me peace.
Yes.
So then one day I tried to be inside of all that, but not participate. And it was all around me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was in a calm little